Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Are you ready to grow? I hope so. We are in a series called Grow, and the past few weeks we have been looking at what are the elements that we need in our lives to help us grow. And to do that, we have been looking at the human body because the Apostle Paul taught that we, everyone who is a follower of Jesus, is part of the body of Christ. And so he taught that we're a body, and we've been learning lessons from the human body. As the human body grows, that's the way you and I grow. The first week we talked about reproducing, how the body reproduces cells all the time, and if it doesn't do that, the body dies. And what it likens to us is we need to be going and reproducing disciples. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And you can see that's the first aspect of our equation that's up on the screen this morning of the visual. We need to go. The second aspect we talked about last week is connecting. We need to connect with each other in the body. Just as the different systems and parts and organs of our body are all connected together, we need to be connected, and not just in surface relationships, but in genuine, authentic friendships. And that's what the Lord wants, because as we do that, we can encourage, we can support, we can sharpen each other and help each other to grow. This morning, we're going to take a look at another aspect of growth. But before we do that, this is the last day that you can sign up for life groups. And there's just a couple of groups left. Our other groups are full, but there's a couple of groups left. If you haven't signed up, we want you to visit the table right afterwards. And if you would take out your bulletins this morning, since we're beginning the life groups, we are starting with our sermon notes and your life group homework. And so it looks like this. It has the insert on the inside. And on the outside and on the inside, we have some questions for you to do. And we encourage everyone to go ahead and do this homework. And it probably takes you 20, 25 minutes, depending on how far you get in deep into it, how much you like to write or answer. And if you're in a life group, make sure you fill this out and bring it with you to your life group this week so it can help you grow. We're on a Grow series, so we want you to grow. And today, I'd like you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to come to that in just a moment. But as we set up today's aspect of growing, we're going to focus on the word serve. The word serve. And Paul, as he's talking about this theme of the body, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 and 18, Paul teaches that the body is to serve the other members of the body. He says, in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. If you're taking notes this morning, the first paragraph there in your homework, it says, just as God has created each part of the body to perform a certain function, the Lord has also given each Christian a specific role to play in serving the body of Christ. The foot helps the body move around. But if the foot says, hey, I'm not the hand, I'm not the one, I'm covered up all the time, I'm at the very bottom, I support all the weight, I don't get the glory. You know, when the person catches the touchdown pass, that's what they show on TV. Nobody sees the foot because I'm covered up all the time. Boom, I'm not part of the body. If the ear says, well, when's the last time someone looked into someone's ear and said, oh, what a beautiful ear you have? They always talk about the eyes, how great the eyes are, and the eyes are out in front, and I'm stuck on the side because I'm not the eye out in front and beautiful. I'm not part of the body. Forget it. I'm not going to be involved. And Paul says, no. He said, we need every part of the body. The parts of the body need to serve the whole body to go forward. You have a role to to fulfill. Now, that role is not the jelly donut or the maple long john out at Hebrews Coffee Bar, okay? That role is a task, a function, something that God has created and designed you for. And we're going to take a look at this morning as what Paul teaches in Ephesians chapter 2 about us serving. Paul's going to talk about four things here, and as we go through them, take a look at verse 1. We're going to read through the first 10 verses here. Paul says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." He's talking about what our lives were like, our spiritual lives were like before we met Jesus. He goes on to say, "In which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Now Paul is going to shift gears. He's going to say, this is what God has accomplished in us through his grace. Take a look at verse 4. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Isn't that awesome what God has done for you and I right now? We are seated in heavenly places with Jesus. That means, and where is Jesus seated? The right hand of the Father. We are seated with him. That means we have authority. We have a power. He's forgiven us. God has positioned us. That's what he did when we got saved. And now Paul's going to talk about a great future, an eternal future we have. He says, in order that the coming ages, verse 7, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. He's saying, guys, you can't even begin to fathom. You can't begin to comprehend the riches, the great future, the inheritance you have as a Christian. It's mind-blowing. That's our future. And so Paul has talked about where we were before Christ, what God has done for us now, what we have to look for in the future. And now this last three verses, he's going to say, this is what God expects of you now as a result of the transformation, as a result of all that he's done for you. This is what God expects. "It's by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." Verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork." Look at your neighbor and say, "You're God's handiwork. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Do you realize we were created to do good works? That's what it says. God created us to do good works. You have a role to fulfill. Just as the human body, every part has a role to fulfill, you and I have a role, a task, a function to fulfill. And so we're going to see three things in your notes this morning. What is Paul teaching about us serving God? Point number one this morning, if you're taking notes, is that God uses everyone. Say everyone. Look at your neighbor and say, everyone. No matter who you are, God has a plan to use you. Everyone is the handiwork of God. According to the Bible, God saved us, not just to sit there and do nothing, but he saved us to serve him, to do good works. And so the question is, what are you and I doing on a daily basis that's an indication that we're serving the Lord in some fashion? What are we doing daily that indicates, yes, God, I'm serving you, I'm doing these good works? Because it is so easy to get up and run through the day and do what we have to do without giving any thought, Lord, what do you want me to do? What have you created me to do? It says, good works that look at, he prepared in advance. Do you realize that God, before you were born, was preparing good works for you to do? That's mind-blowing. To think that before you were formed in your mother's womb, God had a plan and he was laying out a bunch of works, good days, plans and purposes for you and I to do. And he's desiring so much to fulfill those, for us to partner with him, with the Holy Spirit, and to take an adventure with him and experience those good works that he prepared in advance for us. Excuse me. There was an insect flying around. I think I've swallowed a fly, but there is none. Paul said to the Corinthians in his first letter to them, chapter 6, verse 19, he says, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. God bought you. He bought me. He paid a price. That price was a great price. It was the price of his son, Jesus Christ. And when he did that, basically that means he owns us. If you buy something, you own it, right? If you purchase it, if you're not taking out a loan, but you buy it, it's yours, you own it. And the Bible says God bought us on the cross. And what that means for me, what that means for you, is I really am not the owner of my time, my talent, my resources. God is the owner. God owns me. And so I'm not free to do whatever I want to do. I am to do what he wants to do because he owns me. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Matthew, the disciple of Jesus, recorded what he said. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Wow. Jesus, the head of the body, said, I've come to serve. So what does that mean the body should do? Serve. And if we're Christians, we are to serve. Are you seeing this theme over and over in Scripture? We can't get away from it. If we're part of the body, we need to be serving the body. God uses everyone. He bought everyone. He created everyone. He prepared good works for everyone. No one is exempt. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants to use you. What an amazing invitation to partner with God and to be used by him to impact people for eternity. That's the first thing we see Paul teaching the Ephesians about serving. Point number two in your notes is that you are uniquely gifted. You, your neighbor, every person in the world is uniquely gifted. God doesn't make, cookie cutter Christians. How many ever made Christmas cookies before? And what do you take a star, bump, 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 bump. You take a tree, bump, 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 You take an angel, bop, 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 you know, they're all the same. Maybe you decorate them, but they're basically the same with a little bit different decoration. God made you, and then he threw away the mold, and he did that for everyone. You are uniquely gifted. Some people are tempted to say, well, Craig, I'd like to serve, but I don't have any gifts to serve. And that's not true, because in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter says, as each one of you has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Each one of you has received a gift. Look at your neighbor and say, you're gifted. Say, thank you, I know. And I'm humble too. In verse 10, Paul said, we are God's handiwork. Some translations say workmanship. Okay, I want you to follow this with me. God made something. He created something. We're his handiwork. Now, what do you call a work that is created by a master? A masterpiece, yes. God is the master of everything, isn't he? So, if God, the master, created you and me, what does that make us? Masterpieces. You are a masterpiece. God is the eternal, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-creative Michelangelo. You are the Sistine Chapel. You are a unique masterpiece. God has gifted you so incredibly. You're so special. You don't realize how special and how valuable you are. Can you put a price on a masterpiece? You know, they're worth millions of dollars. Some of them are priceless. Friends, you are priceless. And you're not just a masterpiece that's stuck on a wall and does nothing. No, you're a masterpiece that's been created to do good works, to impact people's lives, to change the course of destiny for children, for students, for adults, for every man, woman, and child, for a person, people at every age and every stage of life. God has created you as a masterpiece. He wants to use you. And you have a mandate to take the uniqueness you have and serve the body with it. What would happen this morning if your mouth decided not to work anymore? Your whole body would be in deep weeds. What would happen if your ear said, I'm going to just stop hearing, I'm going to stop functioning? You wouldn't hear anything. You wouldn't hear your wife or your kids or your husband tell you that they love you. You wouldn't hear the game today. You wouldn't hear all the things going on around you. Everything would be silent. Friends, God has a place for you. And when you don't fulfill it, the whole body hurts. We are impacted. We are masterpieces to be used mightily of God. And let's take a look at the third thing that Paul is going to teach us here. Paul teaches that we are accountable to him. We're accountable to him. The word accountable means I'm responsible to use my talents, gifts, and resources in ways that honor God. God created us to do certain things. And if he's done that, then how many think God's going to say, I'm going to hold you accountable? If he's prepared them in advance, that these are planned out, they're not just by chance. But if God has said, I have this and this and this for you to do, I bought you with the price, I own you, how many think we're going to stand before God someday and give an account for our lives? Yeah, we all are. You know, when I stand before God, I want him to say this. I hope to hear these words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your Lord. But here's a question. If I'm not serving God, if I'm not using my gifts to touch people, to do God's work and his purposes, if I'm not serving, how can I be a servant? For me to hear those words, I need to be serving God and listening to him throughout the day, in touch with the Holy Spirit so that I can do those things that he's prepared for me to do, so that you can do those things that he's prepared for you to do. I'm going to make a bold statement. If you and I are not serving God, we're not using our gifts, we're sinning. We're wasting the masterpiece that God has invested in us, and we're sinning. God, help us to be accountable. What are some things that hinder us? Because I think sometimes it's not that we don't want to, but there's just a lot of things going on that, here's the thing, the devil wants to make you and I feel unworthy, untalented, unable to do anything significant for God, because he knows you're a masterpiece. He knows we're masterpieces. And if he can make us feel defeated, get us distracted off of what God has for us, then he knows we're missing out. So we've given you five things there on your notes. We're just going to hit them really quickly. Five things that hinder us from serving God. The letter A, inadequacies and weaknesses. Inadequacies and weaknesses. Some people would say, man, there's no way God would ever use a person like me. I'm not worthy. Here's the thing. None of us are worthy. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us are righteous. Do you realize God has used many people that felt insecure? Gideon, an angel came and visited him and said, "You mighty man of valor." And Gideon, he says, "Who, me? I'm from the weakest family and the weakest tribe and the weakest clan. I'm the weakest of the weakest of the weakest. There's no way God could use me." And an angel does a miraculous sign, and two more times, I mean, Gideon sees miracle after miracle after miracle dealing with his inadequacy. The God say, "Hey, you are worthy. You have something to offer. I can use you." And Gideon, probably one of the people who had one of the lowest self-esteems that we ever read about in the Word of God. I mean, read Judges chapter 6 and 7, and you can see how dense he was. He says, "God, first of all, his sacrifice, supernaturally, fire comes down from heaven, burns it up, and the angel disappears." I mean, how many would say, "You saw an angel. Wow, is that a sign from God that God can use you?" But it's not enough. He says, "Lord, here's a fleece. I want it to be wet and the ground dry." And God supernaturally does that. "Then I want the ground to be wet and the ground dry." I mean, he sees these supernatural things, and he has a hard time believing that God can use him. But God used someone who was insecure. If you're dealing with insecurities, God can use you just like he used Gideon. He used Moses. Moses said, "I can't speak well." Peter was far from perfect. He had a hot temper. He used bad language. He cursed people. He cut off a guy's ear. He denied Jesus three times, yet Jesus chose him to lead his church after he was gone. You think you've got issues? Hey, Peter had some major issues, but God still used him. Paul was a murderer of the early church, and yet God used him to establish the kingdom to the Gentile nations, wrote over about a half of the New Testament. God can use his people who have inadequacy and weakness in their life. Because it's not about me. It's about his grace. Paul said, "His grace is sufficient for me." 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." When you and I feel weak, we are strong through Christ as we depend upon him. You can do anything God wants you to do. So inadequacy and weakness, mark that off the list. That should not hinder us from being used of God. Another thing that sometimes people have struggles with is comparison. And they'd say, "Well, God, I'm sure there's someone who can do this better than I can. There's someone who can sing better, someone who can speak better, someone who can lead better, someone who can teach better, someone who can be better in kids' church." Here's the thing. God doesn't need your advice about who can do something better than you. How many would agree with that? He doesn't need your advice on that. You know what he needs? He needs our obedience. That when he says do it, that we don't say, "But what about them? That they'd be better off. I'm not worthy. I'm not good." No, we don't need to compare. God just needs us to obey. Don't let comparison beat you down and make you feel like God can't use you. Because you are a masterpiece. You're his handiwork. You are incredible. You are gifted. You are special. You are unique. Do you realize how much God loves you? How awesome he made you? Wow. Let's take a look at letter C there. The third thing that keeps us from being used of God is fear. You know what the word fear stands for? False evidence appearing real. False evidence. You look at things in your life and there's evidence, but it's false. It appears to be real. And so many times we let fear of failure. Oh man, what if I try working out in kids' church and I bomb and the kids hate me? What if I try being a life group leader and nobody comes to my group? You know, what if I try and people make fun of me? What if I try and they reject me? What if? And we let fear keep us from accomplishing those works that God prepared in advance for us to do. You know what you need to do? I want you to take a remote. Get a remote in your hand, okay? Take your spiritual remote right here, okay? Now, on the remote, think of a channel changer. We're going to change from the channel of fear to the channel of faith, okay? 1, 2, 3, click. Click off the fear. Click on the faith. You know what you need to do? You need to tell the devil that no weapon formed against you will prosper. That greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. You need to tell the devil that you are more than a conqueror through Christ who created you. Whose line are you going to believe? The devil that says, oh, you might fail, you might mess up, you might not be, people might make fun of you, or you're going to believe the line of God, the word of God that says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Who are you going to believe this morning? Me? I'm going to believe God. How many want to believe God with me? That you can do whatever God calls you to do and not let fear beat you down and keep you from being God's masterpiece. Don't let fear steal God's adventure for your life. Because as we grow through serving. The more your arms and your legs lift weights, the more you run, the more you do those things. That's how your physical body grows. That's how it gets stronger. And as we exercise our gifts, as we do the things, those good works that God created us to do, we grow, we get stronger, we get closer to Jesus. We have more stories to tell. We see more victories. We see more people come into the body of Christ to be saved, healed, delivered, set free. And they begin to grow with Jesus also. The devil is not the final authority on fear. The Word of God is. And God's Word says, perfect love casts out fear. And friends, God loves you perfectly. He gave His Son Jesus to prove it. There is no greater proof He can give that He has a perfect love for you. There's no reason to have fear in our lives. The letter D this morning, busyness. Busyness is a thing that many times keeps people from serving God. How many of you have VeggieTales videos? Some of you do. I remember there was a song on one of the videos. It said, busy, busy, I'm dreadfully busy, more than a bumblebee, more than an ant. Busy, busy, dreadfully busy, we'd love to help, but we can't. You know, and that's kind of the theme song of a lot of Christians. Well, I'd love to help, but I'm busy. Busy, I'm dreadful. You don't know all that I've got to do. I have this and that and this. I've got this responsibility, that responsibility. I don't have time. I don't have the energy to serve the body. I don't have time to take up my role. I don't have time to use my gifts. I'm just way too busy. Sadly, some of us are more devoted to our hobbies than we are to being servants of God. We can find time. Here's the thing. You can always find time for the things you want to find time for. How many have found that to be true? If you really want to do something, you can find time to do it. I mean, some of you, you're so busy, but you're going to take time to watch the game today, or you're going to find time to take a nap, or you're going to find time to do what you want to do because you prioritize it. Busyness really is not an excuse for us to say, I can't be used of God. We're all going to stand before God someday. We're all going to be accountable. And I wonder if God is going to play a video of our life up on a big screen in heaven, and he's going to show all the time that we spent surfing the internet, all the time that we've been playing games on our apparatuses or Facebooking, all the time that we spent on our hobby or doing whatever it is that we like to do. And yet we says, man, I'm just too busy to do anything for the kingdom. I don't have time to hold a baby in the nursery. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to use my gifts. Friends, we could have all the time in the world and still not have enough time to serve God, because the devil wants to creep in and fill our lives with stuff that really doesn't matter and make us feel busy so that we are not being used in the way that God intended for us to being used. There was a pastor one time who was invited to a couple's house for dinner. And they had a nice meal. And after the pastor left, the wife said, "Honey, I think the pastor stole our spoon." She had set the with her nice china or silverware, and the pastor's spoon was gone. She says, "I think the pastor stole our spoon." Well, several months later, they invited the pastor back over to the house for dinner again. They're having dinner, and she got up, the gumption, to ask him. She says, "Pastor, last time we were here, we were missing a spoon. Did you steal my spoon?" And he says, "No, I didn't steal it. I put it in your Bible." Are we too busy for the things that really matter in life? Let's go on to the last one this morning. It's been quiet today, man, really quiet. Letter E, the final thing that hinders us from serving God is sin. And sin is spelled lowercase s, capital I, lowercase n. You see, I is always in the middle of sin, focusing on ourselves, on what we want. The psalmist said in Psalm 32, verse 3 and 4, "When I kept silent, when I didn't confess my sin, when I didn't get right with God, it says, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." Friends, sin may be fun for a season or two, but the reality is we cannot serve God faithfully if we continue in a lifestyle of sin. The Lord needs honesty and willfulness on our part. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect, but that means the pattern of our life is obedience and not disobedience. And there are some people, the pattern of their life is more shutting God out and saying no, 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 instead of saying yes, yes, yes. What we need to do is, when God pricks our hearts about something we've done wrong, we need to quickly and humbly repent. We need to turn to God and say, "Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Give me the power of the Spirit to do my best to honor you, to serve you, to glorify you." Because the Lord doesn't want us to live under the burden of sin and selfishness. You may not realize it, but sin and selfishness is a burden, and God wants to set us free from sin. He wants to give us victory and wholeness in Christ. We need to put away our pursuits and surrender ourselves and say, "God, here I am, take me all." It's like the guy, the Christian who, not the Christian, but the guy who came forward one time to pray, and someone said, "I want you to pray and commit your life to Jesus." And he says, "God, take me, guts, feathers, and all." That's what God's looking for from us. "God, take me all, guts, feathers, all." I mean, you don't eat the guts. You don't eat the feathers. But God, take all my mess. Take all the stuff that's useless. Take all of me. I'm giving myself to you. Psalm 100, verse 2 and 3 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, His handiwork, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Friends, over and over and over in Scripture, God invites us to serve. God says, I want to partner with you. And He uses everyone at every age and every stage of life. Did you know Anna in the New Testament, she was a lady that met Jesus, baby Jesus, and Mary and Joseph. She was 90 years old, and she came to the temple every day to pray and fast and worship and seek God. She was 90. John, the disciple who wrote the book of Revelation, was 92 when he wrote the book of Revelation. It doesn't matter how old you are. You don't see the word retire in the Bible. God doesn't want you to retire. He wants you to refire. God uses everyone at every age and every stage. You're never too far gone. God uses people who were sinful, weak, who failed miserably, and sometimes at society considered useless. Jacob was a cheater. David had an affair and was a murderer. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Elijah was moody and wanted his life to end. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. And God used them all. You can't find a category of person that God doesn't use. So whatever it is, whatever reason you're feeling this morning, that you'd say, I can't be used of God, chuck it out. You're a masterpiece. You have a destiny. There are things God has prepared for you today and tomorrow that just are incomprehensible. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with singing. Thank you, Jesus, you set me free. Here I am. Use me to bring this same joy to others.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.